Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I'm your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'm reviewing The Callisto Protocol. Now, The Callisto Protocol was one of my most anticipated games of last year, and that was simply due to my love of Dead Space. I love the Dead Space games. I feel like I've said that multiple times on multiple episodes on this podcast already now. I will quickly plug once again. There is an episode of me talking about the original Dead Space and why that game's special to me and why I love that game. Check that episode out if you haven't already. But I love Dead Space, and of course I'll be reviewing the Dead Space remake once I beat it. But I love Dead Space, and this game is from a new company that is led by Glenn Schofield, who is one of the creators, primary creators of Dead Space. And when this game was revealed, which I believe was late 2020, shortly after the new consoles had released, it immediately caught my eye, and I think it caught a lot of people's eye because it was a new survival horror game from one of the primary creators of Dead Space. So that in itself, the game almost sells itself off that alone, but the trailer looked very intriguing, the visuals looked very good. It was once again a survival horror game set in space, and the anticipation was there. And for me, I don't tend to watch a lot of gameplay footage or video footage of games that I know that I'm already going to buy, because I'd rather just go in fresh. It's the same as me with films, where I don't really watch trailers for films that much anymore if I know I'm automatically going to watch the film. And so I kind of skipped over a lot of the coverage of this game up until release, aside from the odd gameplay clips that I'd seen posted on, say, Twitter, which all still looked very good. And I purchased this game on release day, which was, I believe was the 2nd of December last year. And I purchased it with the intent on beating the game within that launch weekend and then just trading it in. Now, that didn't happen. And I didn't actually beat the game until after Christmas, I believe. Until sometime this year, actually. Sometime like towards the beginning of January is when I actually beat the game. And there's a whole reason, multiple reasons why I didn't beat the game as quick as I planned. And I'm going to get into it because this is a very interesting game. It's a very interesting game to discuss because there's just a lot going on with it, and there's a lot that went wrong with this game. And it all begins with the game in its launch state, in my opinion, was unplayable, which is something I didn't expect. Now, like I said, I didn't watch too much pre-release footage of this game, so I had assumed it was, because it looked very much like a replication of Dead Space, just with a new setting and a new story, I assumed gameplay-wise it would be pretty similar to that, and it is to a degree. But the one thing that I missed out on because I didn't pay attention to the marketing of the game was I was unaware how melee-focused this combat was. And that in itself isn't an issue, because I'm open-minded. I'm not the type of person to say, oh, this is different to Dead Space, therefore it's not good, and I don't want to play it. That's not the case. I'd be open to the melee combat that they implemented into this game. But my issue is the way that it was implemented felt half-baked and very poor. The combat, it's been a long time since I've played a video game which just felt this unfinished. And it kind of shocked me because the melee combat in this game felt like it was still in its alpha phase. It made the game feel like it was still in its alpha phase. And it made me feel like I was a QA tester, because I was shocked at how the game made it through QA testing, which is quality control testing, where they get the gameplay testers to come in and play the game. I was shocked how this game made it through that phase with this many issues still intact. Let me quickly explain how the melee combat works. So when facing up to enemies, you've basically got to flick the left stick, analog stick, either left or right when they're about to attack you, and you'll dodge their incoming attack. And then there's no actual timing window or skill to it, per se, because the game explicitly tells you during like the opening tutorial that you don't have to time it in any way. So you can literally stand still and hold the stick left for a good 5 seconds before an enemy even starts to attack you, and you'll still dodge that attack. which that in itself is very strange, because then it makes the combat automatically very basic in that sense, because there's no real skill or timing involved, which is just very strange. And then the only thing you have to do is, once you dodge using one of the directions on the left stick, whether it's left or right, the only thing you have to do is flick the stick to the other side, the opposite side, for the second attack. If you fail to do that, then you'll get hit by the attack. So straight away, when the game began and it was explaining this to me, I'm thinking, this is quite strange and this is quite different to what I expected, but you know what, I'll give it a try, see how it goes. And it just doesn't work. And the reason why it doesn't work is it feels very stiff, but the key problem is, when there, and this is a huge design flaw with the game, this combat system's just about manageable with one enemy. But even though it's manageable and you can get past that one enemy using this very rigid combat system, it's not really that entertaining or fun. But the second you encounter multiple enemies, and you're having to deal with multiple enemies with this melee combat system, the game breaks, basically. It doesn't work. Because you get overwhelmed, and the stiff controls, because when I say stiff controls, I'm not just talking about the combat itself. Everything in this game is very stiff. Just the movement of the character is very slow and stiff in general. So even trying to, there's no quick turn button in the game. And even trying to turn around to face an enemy that might be behind you, or to check if there's an enemy might be behind you, takes so long, you'll probably get attacked and killed in the process. So they make the controls very stiff, which makes it very hard to handle a crowd of enemies. And it leaves you, like I said, the no quick turn leaves you very vulnerable to unsuspecting attacks from behind. And that's usually what will happen. If you're facing multiple enemies, you'll try and focus on one, but this really janky and stiff melee combat will be so slow that enemies would always come behind you and start attacking you from behind, and you can't really engage with them and the people that and the enemies that are in front of you at the same time, and you just get overwhelmed and just killed. And I don't have an issue with dying in a game when it's my fault, or where there's like a learning curve, like a solid learning curve for me to master and to improve upon. But all the deaths in this game just felt cheap, because it felt like the game was just overwhelming me with enemies, where it was designed in a way where I couldn't fairly handle multiple enemies, or even given a fair chance to handle multiple enemies. There's a perfect dodge mechanic within this game, where if you flick the stick at a specific time, you can get like a perfect dodge which slows down time so you can attack them back. That's broken. It's got a very, very, very tight window to execute. So that's the only thing. So the standard dodge doesn't have any skill or execution windows at all. But this perfect dodge mechanic is the only thing that does have a timing window. But it's such a small timing window that's not even directly where it ought to be. So where it says you have to like make a last minute attempt at dodging to execute this perfect dodge mechanic, when you do that, it doesn't work. It's actually, the timing is actually slightly before they make their move. So even the way the game presents this mechanic to you, it's not clear and concise, and it doesn't align with how the mechanic actually works in the game. And I remember a lot of people complaining, because there's a trophy related to this perfect dodge mechanic. And when I was trying to get this trophy, I was thinking, why can't I execute this? And I went online, and a lot of people were complaining about the same thing, about the fact that they can't do this. And I eventually got around to doing it, but that was after I realized that the timing window isn't where it ought to be. It was kind of slightly before where it ought to be, which then makes the mechanic very, very complicated, overly complicated, to the point where I would never in a game, you know, aside from going for that trophy, I would never attempt the perfect dodge in standard gameplay, because 99% of the time you'd probably just get hit and lose and take damage, and it's not worth the risk. So that's like a very flawed mechanic in the game that they had as well. So this combat system, and just how flawed and badly designed and unfinished it felt, it all kind of amalgamated in this feeling that I had, where I became very frustrated playing the game, and I didn't find it fun. And this is so rare. This rarely happens to me. I've played some bad games in my time, and even they haven't, you know, invoked that feeling within me, but I just felt very frustrated. I wasn't enjoying it. I remember I got to a certain section of the game where there was one enemy, there was probably about four, maybe five enemies that kind of attack you and swarm you in this one area, and I just kept dying. And like I said, if it's due to me and me not adapting to, you know, a well-designed game with well-designed combat that works and that's fair, then I can understand that and I'll keep at it until I improve. But I could tell straight away that I wasn't dying because I wasn't good enough. I was dying because the gameplay's design was that poor. And it became so frustrating that I just stopped playing the game. And I almost contemplated just not playing the game, like not touching it again. Like I was so frustrated with it and I wasn't enjoying it, and I had barely enjoyed anything up to that point. And this was probably like a couple hours in, that I actually contemplated just not touching the game ever again. But then I thought to myself, you know what? I do want to see this game through to completion because it is the so-called spiritual successor to Dead Space. And I just want to experience what this game has to offer, even if it is very clunky in areas and unfinished in other areas. I still wanted to experience it. I didn't touch it for a couple weeks, and I heard that they released a patch within that time which increased, which changed a few things, not much, but the speed, one thing that was irritating a lot of people is the speed in which you heal. So when you use your healing weapon, which is like this healing gun, the speed in which he applies that to himself is so slow that you basically can't use it in the middle of combat because there's no way that animation would complete in time before you get hit another time. They increased the speed of that, and they also allowed you to skip the long death animations because this game has some very gnarly and violent death animations, which are cool when you see them for the first time. But because you die so much in this game because the game is just so broken, you start to get fed up of seeing them, but they're quite lengthy and you couldn't skip them before, but they added a skip button to them in the patch. And they made some small other fixes, but that didn't really solve a lot in the grand scheme of things with the game. But what I did is I eventually, after a few weeks, got back on the game. And I'm going to tell you what I did. I'm going to be honest. Now, I mostly, most of the time, I play video games on hard because I like a challenge. So I usually play video games on hard, especially if there's trophies surrounding hard difficulty, then I'll always play the game on hard, usually. What I did with this game is when I got back on it after those couple weeks, I actually moved the difficulty down to easy in order to prevent me from getting too frustrated. And the thing that kind of highlights how incomplete and poorly designed and made this game was, I didn't drop the difficulty down because of my own skill or my own incompetence with the game itself. I dropped it down in order to make the game playable because outside of easy mode, the game felt unplayable because it was so poorly balanced with this janky combat and the enemies and the way it's all designed. And only then, I mean, like I said, only then after dropping it down to easy mode did the game feel a little more playable and a little more enjoyable. And I'll put an asterisk next to that because there's still issues with this game. And even on easy mode, being on easy mode doesn't fix some of those frustrating elements of the game. It just lessens them a little. And, you know, I felt like by that point, I'd owned the game for like 3 weeks, way longer than I intended to. And I felt like I'm just jumping through all these hoops just to make the game playable and like enjoyable at the most basic degree. And it's like, no gamer should have to be doing that. Like, this was just a very telling sign of how fundamentally poorly made this game was, and it came out way earlier than it ought to. It needed more time in the oven, and they really needed to iron out the mechanics of the game, because like I said, what they were going for, conceptually, it could have worked, but it just felt like they rushed it, and they didn't put enough attention in the right areas to make it work. And it significantly impacted the gameplay experience. Now, there are some people that do enjoy this game and like this game, fair enough to them, but a majority of people don't, and I absolutely understand why, because I think even if you enjoy the game, and of course, everything is subjective, but even if you enjoy the game, I think you can't ignore the technical slash gameplay issues that come with this game. And I think anyone that's considering, even now, so the game's been out for like 3 months now, have multiple patches, even now, if someone is considering buying this game, they need to be made aware of all these aspects of it, because I think even 3 months after the game's come out, if you play this game unsuspectingly, you know, unknowing to what all these things I've mentioned prior is in this game and what's been going on with the gameplay side of it, I think you're going to be like, what is this? Like, I think a lot of people will be unhappy with their purchase if they don't at least know about these aspects of it. Now, if you know about, you know, all what I've just said prior, and you listen to what I've just said there, or what someone else says about these aspects of this game, and then you go and make a purchase, you're making an informed purchase for yourself. You're purchasing the game knowing full well that there's a possibility that you might not get on with the combat mechanics of this game, and you may feel that it's unpolished, potentially feeling unfinished. And that's your own choice. And at least then you have the expectation to expect that, which won't necessarily make it better, but it won't catch you off guard. But for them to release the game in this state that they did, and for like all the people like myself that went and bought it day one because they wanted to support this new studio, they wanted to support one of the creators of Dead Space, they wanted to support survival horror in video games, for them to get this type of product on day one for supporting it, it's not a good look. It's not a good look at all. But the issues don't just, you know, they don't just remain with the gameplay side of it. In terms of the story as well, for a very long time, there's next to no plot development in this game. And what I'll say quickly, actually, because I've been talking very negatively about this game so far, there are some positives. I'll get to those at the end. But the story, there's next to no plot development. So you're doing objectives throughout the game, and there's no real narrative force driving the actions of the character in the game. And it feels as if the writers kind of leave you in no man's land for the majority of the game. And then it's only near the climax of the game where you get some story revelations, and they're not that satisfying. So as a whole, the story itself doesn't fully deliver. There's some slightly interesting ideas that, like the gameplay, if they were expanded upon or if more work was done upon it, it could have been something more worthwhile. But the story revelations that do come, like right at the end of the game, they're not satisfying, and they're pretty much as cliche as they could possibly be. Especially for someone who's a fan of Dead Space and who's experienced that already, the game mirrors Dead Space, the narrative of Dead Space in many ways, but in a less interesting way and a less successful way. And the final moment of this game literally tries to replicate an iconic aspect of Dead Space's ending, and it feels really cheap the way that they do it, and very derivative. Enemy wise, there's a few different enemy types, but this once again is an issue with the game. Is a lot of it starts to feel very repetitive very quickly. The way you dispatch the enemies, you know, you just got to use your melee combat to break them down. And then you get this kind of quick shot mechanic with the gun. So you do have like a pistol on you in this game. And once you do a couple melee attacks and weaken an enemy, you'll get this kind of quick shot mechanic where you can click like R2 and he quickly shoots a limb off. And then you can continue with the melee. And the strange thing about this game as well with this combat is it's so melee focused, and that the gunplay doesn't feel right. The gunplay only feels right when you use that quick shot mechanic. If you just walk around with your gun out of his holster and you're aiming and then firing, it almost feels like the game isn't made to be played that way. Even though you technically could walk around for the majority of this game with a gun if you've got the ammunition to just shoot and fire when you see enemies. But it'll take a long time to kill them, and it just feels like the game almost punishes you for trying to play that way. And the mechanics of it just don't feel that great either, playing that way, which is really strange. And once again, it isn't until like the last couple hours of the game where they start flooding you with ammunition and you get some different guns like an assault rifle where you could actually then get the choice, or feel like you have the choice, to actually maneuver around the game and shoot the enemies instead of using the bad combat. Which is really strange, once again, because going into the game, I thought it was going to be mostly gunplay. I didn't realise they had this whole melee combat mechanic that the game was centred around. And in all honesty, I don't knock them for wanting to do something different. Because, of course, this was like a spiritual successor to Dead Space. And there's a lot of elements of Dead Space that they unsuccessfully try and mirror. I don't knock them for wanting to do a bit different, say with the combat side of it. It's just that it wasn't successful, so I've got to dock points for the fact that they did such a poor job of doing it. But the intention of what they wanted to do is not the issue here. It's just the execution. There's certain enemies that basically remind me of the regenerative enemy from Dead Space. There's an enemy in Dead Space there that you can't kill by normal means. Anytime you shoot the limbs off, he'll regenerate and chase you down. And there's enemies like this. And there's also enemies in Dead Space where they evolve and get stronger. So there's an enemy that will come and like almost make the other enemy stronger in a room if you allow them enough time to kind of build them up. And there's an enemy in this game where essentially, well, in fact, it's the same enemy that you've been fighting all along, but there's just more evolved versions that you fight later on, where if these kind of, you can see them basically transforming mid-gameplay, and if you don't shoot them whilst they're transforming, they'll fully transform into like stronger variants. And although that sounds cool to begin with, that gets incredibly repetitive, and that's almost like the only change to the enemy design throughout the most of the game. You do get some boss type enemies. They're called two head because they literally have two heads, and the mechanics of fighting them are very, very basic, and it gets repetitive really fast. And they use that kind of boss four times throughout the game, and it's not even like well paced out throughout the game, because they all appear like in the last half of the game and you fight them four times. And then you've got these blind enemies, which are very derivative of the clickers from The Last of Us. They're very clearly inspired by the clickers, and even they're mechanically broken because these enemies are blind. So this is the whole thing. These enemies are blind. They hear you. That's how they attack. So if you make noise, they'll be drawn to you. They'll attack you, just like the clickers in The Last of Us. But the reason why they're mechanically broken is you can't evade them by running away and hiding once you've alerted them. So let's say I've alerted a group of them in a specific area, and I run way down to like another room or another pocket of the area that I'm in and hide, they will always come straight to me. Despite being blind, they'll know exactly where I am, even if I run away and hide. Which, if you're blind and I'm not making any noise anymore, they should be lost, but that doesn't happen, so they're broken. And another aspect of them, which is quite comical, is they're alerted to sound, but if you stealth kill one of them, so that's another thing, the game implements like this kind of stealth mechanic at this point, where it's trying to tell you to stealth kill these creatures and make no noise instead of shooting them with the gun or doing face-to-face melee combat. But if you stealth kill them, say if there's two of them nearby and you stealth kill one of them, it will make out like the loudest screech and you'll make the loudest noise killing it, and the one next to you will be none the wiser. So it's just like, things like that, you know, they break the immersion of the game, because it's just, there's so many elements like that throughout this game where just mechanically it's just like, this is not polished whatsoever, and it's really impacting the overall experience and my overall impression of the game itself. There's an over-reliance on jump scares in this game again, and once again, Dead Space, and I don't want to compare it to Dead Space too much, but even if I was to compare it on its own merits, this game is not scary. It's not scary, and it barely has any atmosphere. And I think that's one of the bigger issues, is not everything has to scare me. I'm a horror fan. Not everything has to scare me. But if you provide a great story or great atmosphere, that can make up for it. And sometimes be, you know, even better than just having something that's just straight up scary. But there's no real atmosphere in this game. I rarely ever felt scared. In fact, I didn't feel scared at all playing this game. And it did lack atmosphere tremendously. And there's an over-reliance on jump scares, which just killed the immersion. And it reminded me that I was playing a game because of how repetitive some of these jump scares got. There's a particular creature that when you walk into certain rooms, it will kind of jump out at you and like grab you and attack you. And that happened so many times that it just became irritating every time it happened, because this little animation the game would go into when this creature is attacking you actually depletes your health. And you have to like tap the button to get it off you. And that happened so many times that it was never scary in the first place. And maybe the first couple times it happens, it will make you jolt. But then when it happens like the 15th time in the game, you're just like, can you stop? Like, this isn't fun. This isn't entertaining. Can you just stop now? And there's another thing that they do where you've got like the little lockers that you can open for like items and things like that. Every now and again, you'll open one and a creature will jump out at you. And they do that so many times, once again, that it loses all impact and it becomes very irritating. The upgrade system. There's an upgrade system in this game. It's your standard kind of thing where you have your weapons, you upgrade the damage, ammunition, things like that. What I'll say is the mechanics behind how you upgrade. So you go to this little upgrade station and you can upgrade on there. And it's very slow. It's painstakingly slow to upgrade. The animations that happen in between each upgrade, it's all very slow. And the checkpointing in this game is so broken that if you go and do your upgrade and then go into the next room and die, it will checkpoint you to before you place the upgrade. So then you've got to sit through those long-ass animations once again as you upgrade again. So the checkpointing is another thing that's not implemented very well into this game. I feel like I've made a long list of things that haven't worked with this game, because there's a lot of things that just don't work with this game. Going back to the end of it, the last boss fight in this game is among the worst I've ever played. It's like an imitation of Resident Evil 1 in concept, but it's laughably short and underdeveloped and just feels, once again, like a prototype of what an actual boss fight would build. It feels like a placeholder. It feels like this game's mid-development and that boss fight at the end of Callisto Protocol is essentially what they had placed in to the game at that particular point in production to be like, right, this is the framework of a boss fight here and what we're going for at the end of this game. We'll get back to it at some point during the development to flesh it out, put more mechanics within it, and make it an actual proper boss fight that feels worthwhile. But it's almost like they were doing that, but they actually forgot to go back to it and actually make a proper boss fight. So what you're left with is something that just feels so hollow and so much like an afterthought. And it's like, this is the climax of your game. This is the big crescendo of your game. This is the primary boss fight of the game. Why is it so undercooked? And yeah, it's strange. It really does feel like most of the mechanics and the structure of this fight hasn't been implemented. And I'll be really intrigued to see a behind the scenes, like, footage and documentary on this game. Like a real honest one, you know, like if in 10 years time, when people are far detached from the property, they start to interview them and they talk the truth about what was going on with this game in development, because it's been a long time since I've seen a game. You get games that release with, you know, broken mechanics or things like that, which get patched up later on. But so many aspects of this game feel fundamentally under-designed and underdeveloped. It's quite staggering. And I haven't seen a game release in this particular state in a very long time. And it was quite a shock to experience it with this game, because I just didn't expect it. One aspect of the game that they should have used more, and they really only use them a couple times, and it's a shame, is they have these security droids on this space station that you're on in the game. And they're more intimidating than most of the enemy types in the game. But they're so underutilized that you kind of forget about them. And it's a shame, because they're very violent. Like, you have to properly maneuver them with, like, stealth and try and sneak around them, because they're quite hard to take down and they can pretty much kill you instantly. As soon as they see you, they'll kill you like RoboCop, like sci-fi ultra-violent style, where they're like shotgun blast you from point-blank range in the head and your head will just pop. The kill animations with them were brutal, and they were very intimidating, because the moment you saw one, you knew you had to slow down your pace and actually think about how you were going to maneuver yourself around a room. And I think they should have used them a lot more than they did, just to give more variety to the gameplay as a whole, and because I think that was one aspect of the enemy design that actually worked within the game. But I've got through the negatives of the game. I've outlined all the things I think anyone considering to buy this game should be aware of before. So let's talk about some of the things that actually work. So I spoke about the death animations earlier. If you like kind of very violent death animations like the original Dead Space or like Tomb Raider 2013, this game has them, and they're entertaining to watch the first few times. I did play with headphones on the entire time, and the sound design is probably the strongest part of this game. The sound design was fantastic, really well done. And although I said the game itself wasn't atmospheric or scary, the sound design itself through headphones at least started to build some immersion. Unfortunately, other aspects, like I said, like the cheap jump scares and the repetitiveness, did break that immersion, but a lot of the immersion that I felt prior to that was generated by the impeccable sound design, so that deserves a lot of praise. And the visuals are some of the best visuals and most detailed in-game character models I've ever seen in a game. And in that regard, the game does really feel like a next-gen game. Like, it truly feels next-gen when you look at it. And that regard is impressive. So yeah, in terms of the visuals and the sound, got to give praise where praise is due. And it does definitely deserves it for that aspect of it. There are some interesting settings within this story. So I haven't really given an overview of what the story is, but essentially, you end up in this space prison, basically. I'm not going to go into too much detail. You end up in this space prison and you're trying to break out. And there's some interesting settings within some of the chapters. There's one which is within a botanical garden, akin to something you'd see like Poison Ivy inhabit in the Arkham games. And that was a slightly memorable location with some memorable sound design of like rustling trees around you as the creatures are like hiding amongst the trees and then jumping out to attack you. And that was quite an enjoyable moment, and maybe one of the only moments in the game that kind of maintained an immersive feel. There's another level that's out in the wilderness of this planet during a snowstorm, and that was quite desolate, and that was quite an effective part of the game, especially with the enemies, because the enemies were like frozen outside in the snow, and then some of them would like appear to be frozen and then start running at you in the dark. And that was quite a good scene. And there's certain moments, certain brief set pieces throughout this game that are quite well staged. I'll give it that. You know, there's some set pieces that are well staged. It's not really enough to save the game as a whole because of the issues that I've mentioned prior. And like I said before, you know, the game has enough Dead Space within its DNA without being a direct imitation. And despite its failures, I do appreciate that they tried to do a little bit different with certain aspects of this game and not try and copy Dead Space all the way through. But unfortunately, it's the aspects that they really try and change where they feel just really underdeveloped and undercooked. So it kind of hurts the game. And lastly, I'd say, you know, me being me, because I love survival horror, I'd probably still be intrigued to see a sequel, simply because survival horror games of this nature are still very rare, unfortunately. So I kind of take whatever I can get. And if they were to make a sequel, hopefully they could improve upon the mechanics. But this game sold so poorly when it released that I don't think it will get a sequel. So the fact that it probably won't get a sequel, I won't lose sleep over it. Because I do think, as a whole, the Callisto Protocol is a failure. You have to play it to truly understand what I'm saying. Once you play it, you'll understand. But the game just feels so underdeveloped. It's quite remarkable. It's their own fault for releasing the game in that state. If they released the game in a more polished state, it would have stronger word of mouth. It'd probably sell better. And maybe they'd be closer to making a sequel. But I don't think that's going to happen now. And that's kind of their own fault with the state they released this game in. But that's my review of the Callisto Protocol. What I'll say about it is, it's a weird one. If you're like me and you love survival horror and you've just been itching for survival horror experiences, of course you do have the Dead Space remake, which is out now. Absolutely buy that ahead of this. But say if you've played that and you still want to play something else, you know, I can understand why someone would still want to go against all the recommendations, all the comments that I've said here today, or what other people may have said about the game, and still go ahead and buy it to play it themselves. If you're that type of person, I understand why you'd want to do that, but at least you're now aware of what to expect when you play the game, because I think anyone that buys this game unaware of those aspects is going to be sorely disappointed when they realize how poorly designed some aspects of this game is. But what I will say is, I think it's already dropped down in price anyway. Actually, I think I've seen it on sale prices in certain places, but yeah, don't buy it full price. Buy it on sale if you're going to play it, but it's not a game that I think anyone has to play. Even if you're a horror fan, I don't think it's something you have to play. It's not essential. It doesn't give you enough good to make it something that's a required play. That's all I'd say about it. But that's my thoughts on the Callisto Protocol. I will be reviewing the Dead Space remake when I do finish that, so that review will be coming soon, and I'll speak to you guys soon in the next episode.